that. You know, one of the things that has intrigued me most in life is the ocean. I've gone to the beach, I've gone to the ocean all my life. I continue to go. I love to go. I love to take my kids and watch them, you know, just stand at the edge of the ocean and just, you know, have the same feeling that I get, the wow feeling. You know, the beauty, the vastness of it. But one of the things that's always intrigued me about the ocean is when you go to the beach at night, a lot of times the tide goes out. And a lot of that has to do with the moon, the gravitational pull, and I'm not a scientist, so that's all I'm going to say. But you go during the day, and it's back up. You go at night, and it's out, and you come during the day, and it's back up. And it's kind of amazing that the way that the ocean operates. And you're thinking, well, what does that have to do with my life? And a lot of you are already making this connection, but our life is just like the tide of the ocean. One day, we're at an all-time low. And the next day, we're at an all-time high. The next day, we're at an all-time low. The next day, we're at an all-time high. They come and they go. Our lives are always changing with high moments and low moments. There are times when we have those great achievements. There are times that we have those moments that we want everybody to know about. We want everybody to be proud of us. But there's also those moments where we fail. And we want to kind of go into hiding. We don't want anyone to know about what we're going through or what we're struggling with. And a lot of times, just as the tide is out of our control, a lot of the situations in our life can sometimes be out of our control. Our lives can be out of control. Majority of the time, we can't control what's going to happen in our lives, but what we do control is how we react to those situations in our lives. You know, we want the tide to either be in or to be out. We want our lives to be good or to be bad. And I think overall, we want our lives to be useful to God. We want our lives to be meaningful to God, don't we? We want to be fruitful to God, don't we? We just don't want to come here every first day of the week and listen to a sermon and pray and listen, you know, to the song leader and sing with him and partake of the Lord's Supper and that be it. We want our lives to have meaning to God. We want to be used by God for God's glory. Because coming here once a week, twice a week, maybe three times a week, is not enough to persevere. I'm telling you right now, it's not enough to persevere. And that's what we're talking about today. We're talking about perseverance. It's the fourth Christian virtue. It's right in the middle. And I want us to understand something before we go further. Perseverance is not patience. There are two different words, two different meanings. Patience is the ability to deal with frustrations. Patience is the ability to deal with aggravations, in an even-tempered way. Patience in the Bible is often dealing with people. And let's be honest, you have to have patience when you're dealing with people. Now, perseverance carries a different meaning. Perseverance means to endure through the hardships. It is what gets us Christians through discouragements. It is what calls us back from the temptations. It is what calls us to profess the faith that we have. So why do I need to persevere? Why do I need to hold on to my faith? And it's interesting that perseverance is right here in the middle. It's interesting that it's right here in the middle. You got moral excellence, you've got knowledge, and you've got self-control, and it's as if Peter is saying, but listen, I know those are difficult, but don't give up yet. Don't give up. You've got to hold on because there's still some more things that you have to do. You see, self-control is holding back. Perseverance is a willingness to hold back and to hold on to. It is a crucial part of our Christian lives. It is one of those things that's either going to make it or it's going to break you. It is what makes us relevant. It is what makes us to want to make a difference. And we want to make a difference. We want to be useful by God. We don't want to be a box of fireworks. We want to be a lighthouse. You see, fireworks, we love fireworks, David. Nothing against fireworks. I'm sorry. But fireworks go off with a big bang. They look pretty. We're amazed by them. But guess what? They impress us. But they don't last. They fizzle out. And then there's nothing but darkness. You see, a lot of Christians are living their lives that way. They go off with a big bang. They do something impressive, and then there's darkness. You see, a lighthouse shines the same light. The lighthouse shines a saving light from hazardous rocks, from hazardous obstacles that are in the water. They help protect people. And I believe when Jesus said in Matthew 5:16 to let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works, he isn't talking about let your fireworks shine before men. He's talking about a lighthouse type of light. He's talking about a light that never fades, a light that never goes out, the light that is always shining for others to see. And that's what Jesus wants for us. And for us to have that continued light, it's going to take faith. It's going to take moral excellence. It's going to take knowledge. It's going to take self-control. It's going to take perseverance. It's going to take godliness. It's going to take brotherly love. It's going to take that agape love. It's going to take every attribute that Peter talks about here in 2 Peter chapter 1. And so one thing I want to show to you this morning is that no matter what the tide is, whether the tide is in, whether the tide is out in your life, that God does not change. God does not change. God does not leave us. He never leaves us. God has never left us helpless. We are not helpless. We are not powerless over our own lives. If we are born again Christians, we have the Spirit of God living in us. Amen? God has not left us. In fact, God has given us something to help us to overcome, to overpower the low tide in our life. 1 Timothy chapter 4 in verse 7 says, have nothing to do with worldly fables, only discipline yourself. Paul says to train yourself for the purpose of godliness. So guess what? That shows me there are things that I can do, there are things that I can add to my life that would help me to be fruitful in God's kingdom. And Peter says God has given us everything pertaining to life and godliness. God hasn't left anything out. God has been perfect. God has been complete in what He has given us. And so we have to learn to be godly. We have to learn to persevere in life. We have to learn to take responsibility for our lives. But the world comes in and the world says, well, you're the victim. It's not your fault. It wasn't you that did it. It was someone else, or it was a circumstance. Don't blame yourself. You are the victim here. The problem is the Bible never once gives us the idea of a victim mentality. In fact, the Bible teaches us the opposite. As Christians, we're not helpless. And that's some of the best news in the world, that no matter what the world says, no matter what anyone says, God says, yes, you can. You can persevere. Don't make excuses. In fact, he tells us in Hebrews chapter 12, listen, it's not just me that's cheering you on, but there is this cloud of witnesses. And they're rooting for you. They've been where you are. They've been where you're going. Paul teaches us when he's talking to Timothy, 2 Timothy chapter 4, verses 5 and 7, he says to endure hardship. Paul himself said, listen, I have fought the good fight. I've done it. And guess what? I finished the course. I've kept the faith. So Paul is saying, guess what, guys? I persevered. I did it. And you can do it too. They had every reason to quit. You look at Hebrews 12, you look throughout the whole Old Testament, New Testament, you look at all the great men and women of the faith that persevered, that remained faithful to the end. And you see, they did it. They had every single reason to quit. They weren't just having bad days. Listen, friends, they had bad decades, okay? They didn't live an easy life. They didn't come to a nice building. They didn't go home to their nice homes and drive in their nice cars. They had to deal with the same hardships of life that we have to deal with, but most of their hardships was because they said yes to God. They said yes to God. They claimed to be a Christian during a time when it was dangerous and costly to do so. If you notice on the back of the bulletin, there's that section of digging deeper. I'm going to encourage you to please be looking at that. Use that as you go throughout the week in some of your personal Bible study. But one of the questions there is you can look at the times Peter uses the word suffer in his letters. In 1 and 2 Peter, over 20 times, depending on the translation, and just in 1 Peter. He talks about how early Christians suffered for the cause of Christ. You look at Jesus' life. Jesus had every reason to quit. Whether it was Joseph giving him chores, you know, to clean out those nasty horse stables. That's your job today, Jesus. I want you to go and do that. Jesus could have said, listen here, buddy, I'm the Son of God. I don't have to clean a horse stable. I'm not going to do that. Jesus could have done that. Every time someone took the Lord's name in vain, Jesus could have given up. Every time someone blamed their problems on God, Jesus could have said, you just don't get it. These people don't get it. And he could have gave up. In John chapter 10 and verse 20, people were claiming that, hey, this guy's got a demon in him. There's something wrong with this guy. You guys are listening to him? When Jesus was walking down that street carrying that cross and people were yelling at him and mocking and spitting on him and throwing things at him, he could have given up. When he looked down from the cross and saw Mary and the sadness and the despair and the heartache that she was going through, he could have said, this woman doesn't deserve this. I'm not going to do this. Jesus Christ could have given up, but I thank God that he didn't give up. Amen. And I thank God that he never gives up on me. I thank God that Jesus endured the cross. He despised the shame. I'm thankful that he loves me that much. I'm thankful for 1 Corinthians chapter 13 and verse 7, what I read for the call to worship. It says that love endures all things. What's left out of all things? Revelation chapter 2 and verse 3, Jesus there praises the church at Ephesus because they had done something. They had endured. And they endured patiently. So I'm wondering if God were to talk to us about our life, would he say the same thing about us? You know, the question is, where is it that we need more perseverance in our lives? You know, where do we need to learn to be patient? Where do we need to learn to hang on in our lives? I don't think we're threatened, at least not in America, at least not in East Tennessee. Southeast Tennessee, we're not threatened the way that the first century Christians were threatened with our lives. We don't have someone banging down our door saying, hey, are you a Christian? Boom. You know, we don't have that. Certain situations, maybe, but I don't think we deal with that on a daily basis. But let me tell you where I think a lot of people need help persevering in our lives. I think it's parenting. I think parenting's one of them. You know, are you trying to be a godly parent? Are you trying to teach your children the ways of God? Are you trying to show them, listen, this is what it takes to live a happy life. This is what it takes to live a godly life. You do that, but let's be real with each other. It's very, very difficult to raise kids in the world that we live in, to raise godly kids. Because the older that they get, the more that they hear and understand from their peers. Because the older that they get, the more mature that they get, the things that they hear on TV and social media, and more than likely, every bit of that is going to contradict what you're trying to teach them. And so sometimes you feel ineffective. You know, why keep trying? I've got just a few hours a day. I try to talk to them. They don't listen to me. They backtalk me. They disrespect me. And they're going to go to school, and they're going to hear their friends talk, and they're going to turn on TV, you know, social media, all the garbage that happens on social media. And here I am trying to do this. You know what? Is it even doing any good? Why do I need to quit? Why do I need to keep trying? What about financially? You know, maybe you just paid the bills. And now you've got this limited amount of money before you get paid again. But the problem is, I've got more bills to pay. And so maybe right now it seems like, you know what, I'm just going to throw away the debit card, throw away the checkbook. I'm tossing the bills right out the window. I'm just giving up. I wonder if it's some secret sin. No one knows about it but you and God. And you feel overwhelmed with it because you struggle with it. Maybe it's lust. Maybe it's gossip. Maybe it's greed. Maybe it's pornography. Maybe it's addiction to alcohol or addiction to some other drug or whatever it may be. And maybe you're starting to feel in your life right now, you know what, maybe it's easier just to give in than just to fight it. Because it takes a lot to fight it, but it doesn't take very much just to give in. Maybe it's work-related. Maybe you need more perseverance at work. You know, you try to make time for God and you try to make time for your family, but it's as if the job is just endless. It never stops. And you feel like every day when you go in, it's just another Monday. You feel like you're about to break. You want to quit. You want to move to this desert island that everybody wants in the middle of the ocean. You want to be done with it. Maybe it's a prognosis. Maybe you've got a doctor's appointment coming up soon and you're nervous about it. You're scared about it. You don't know what's going to happen. Maybe it's grief. Maybe you've lost that one that you love so dearly, and it's all that you can do to keep from going into depression or despair because of the overwhelming feelings of loneliness. Peter says, if you want to stop feeling that way, if you want to stop feeling that wanting of quit, you need to add some perseverance to your faith. You need to surround yourself with people that know how to persevere, that have been through some of the same things. So let me share with you some things that I think we could add to our lives that would help us to persevere. Number one is, I think it's a given, be patient, don't quit. God doesn't want you to quit. Peter doesn't want you to quit. A lot of hardships in the first century, listen, we talked about, they said yes to God. It would have been a lot of those hardships would have been avoided if they had just said no to God. Abandon your faith. Stop talking about Jesus. Stop trying to live like Jesus. Stop trying to live a holy and undefiled life. Stop believing in Jesus is coming back. Do what they want you to do, and everybody else is going to leave you alone. Do that and you'll live a good life. But Peter knew more than any of them. He knows more than any of us that we cannot give up. We cannot give in to worldly things. Just don't give up, to persevere, to keep on keeping on. And Peter says, I promise you, if you just do that, you'll be glad you did. Listen, Rome wasn't built in a day. And I tell you this, neither are good Christians. It takes time. It doesn't happen overnight to have biblical perseverance. It takes time, it takes energy, it takes focus, it takes encouragement. The faithful Christian must learn to endure tribulation because the main element in perseverance is the submission to the will of God. So be patient. Don't give up yet. Something else, we need to trust in God more. You know, that's something that's one of the hardest things for us to accept, I believe, is to put all of our faith, put all of our cards with God. For us to really understand that God is a loving Father, that, you know, God often allows and permits things to happen to us. And as much as we hate those things, as much as we hate going through those things, it's hard for us to see sometimes, hey, God is using this for my own good. And Hebrews chapter 12 teaches that very, very strongly, 3 through 6. It says, consider him who endured from sinners such hostility against himself so that you may not grow weary or faint-hearted. In your struggle against sin, you have not yet resisted to the point of shedding your blood. And have you forgotten the exhortation that addresses you as sons? My son, do not regard lightly the discipline of the Lord, nor be weary when reproved by him. For the Lord disciplines the ones he loves and chastises every son whom he receives. It's hard to accept that a lot of times. It's one of those things that's easier said than done. That God disciplines those whom he loves. So when we follow the example, when we follow this example, we're following what Jesus did. And we understand that sometimes the bad things in my life, yes, they can actually produce good. And again, it's hard to see that in the moment because I don't think anyone, at least anyone here, wakes up and says, well, you know, I hope something absolutely terrible happens today. That way I can be strengthened by it. We don't say stuff like that. No, but what happens is that the most inopportune, the most unexpected times, something bad happens in our lives. But there are benefits that come from that. There are benefits that God uses that to produce good. And then and only then can I rejoice and be patient in the stuff that's going on in my life. Romans chapter 5 in verse 3, Paul says, more than that, we rejoice in our suffering, knowing that suffering produces endurance. You know, I'm amazed by these college and these professional athletes. They have suffered tremendously to get to the point as to where they are. They suffer mentally, they suffer physically, and it was that suffering that they went through willingly that made them who they are today. So maybe the same idea can be said of us. We endure patiently the sufferings that the world brings us so that we can get to the next level, so we can get to another level. So that maybe we can be an example to those that are around us. So that maybe they can see Jesus living in us. 1 Peter chapter 4 and verse 12. Beloved, do not be surprised at the fiery trial when it comes upon you to test you as though something strange were happening to you. It's an interesting verse because basically Peter says, listen, when something bad happens in your life, why do you think it's something strange? Why do you not understand it? He says, listen, they did the very thing to Jesus. You should have known they're going to do at least do it to his followers. Don't think something strange is happening to you. And he goes on in verse 13, it says, to the degree that you share the sufferings of Christ, keep on rejoicing, Peter says, so that also at the revelation of his glory you may rejoice in happiness. Again, these words are so easy to read. They're easy to preach, but they're downright difficult to live. Because I'm going to be honest, at least from Ryan's point of view, I would rather not rejoice in suffering. I would rather not rejoice in loss. I would rather just praise God for the blessings and that be it. That's what I want to do. But we must realize that there is nothing that happens in our lives that God cannot use for His glory. Amen? Nothing. The hardships, the struggles, it is faith exposed to those hardships of life that develop perseverance. And it's that perseverance that keeps the Christian serving God in all of our disappointments and in all of our temptations. And I want to close with this one. Think about heaven more. In the New Testament, there's a concept that's repeated over and over again in several places about the idea of renewing your mind. You can see the verses there on the screen, 2 Corinthians 4:16, Romans 12:2, Ephesians 4:23, Philippians 4:8. Of course, there's so many others. And the only way that your mind is going to be renewed is if you have an eternal perspective on things. If the only thing that you see is the here and now, if that's the only thing that you're focused on, then your perspective is going to be shallow. It's going to be short-lived. That means when the going gets tough, you're going to quit. You're going to give up. But Paul reminds us in 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 16, he says this, therefore, don't lose heart. He says, though the outer man is decaying, yet your inner man is being renewed day by day. For the momentary light affliction producing for us an eternal weight is producing for us an eternal weight of glory beyond all comparison. He goes on to say that the things that we see now, they're temporary. The things that we don't see, Paul says, those are the eternal things. And the only way that you're going to renew yourself, the only way that you're going to renew your mind is if you have an eternal perspective. Is if you're focused on something besides the here and now. So let me ask you, how are you doing with that? You know, where's your perspective this morning? I'm going to close with telling you this. Every problem that you're facing right now in your life is temporary. Know that. The fight isn't over yet. You may be getting, knocked around. You may be getting pushed around. You may be getting shoved around. You may be getting stepped on. But let me tell you, it's all temporary. Every bit of it's temporary. And nothing that is happening now or that will happen to us will be worth complaining about when we get to heaven. 2 Corinthians 5, verses 1 through 5. So I don't know where you are right now in your life. I don't know what you're struggling to hang on to. I don't know what. I just want you to know that God loves you. That God hasn't given up on you and that God never will give up on you. And know that we love you. And that we want to help you. I don't think anyone in this building today professes to be perfect. If you do, come see me. I've got something to tell you. I don't think any of us profess to have no problems in our life, to be problem-free. We all struggle with different things on different levels. But God has given us everything that we need to get through those struggles, to get through those shortcomings. There were two men walking on a cliff, walking side by side. One man was blind. One man couldn't see. And the other man that was walking with him, he could see, but his eyes were closed. Both are in danger. But I'll tell you, the tragedy of the second man is greater. He has the capacity to see, but he doesn't. He has the capacity to see, but he doesn't use it. And that right there, friends, is the message of 2 Peter. We have the capacity to add every one of these things to our lives. We have the capacity to persevere in our lives. And if we sit back and we do nothing, we are the ultimate tragedy. We are just like the man that's walking along the edge of that cliff who can see, but they've got their eyes closed. So which one are you this morning? The tides of life, they have highs, they have lows, but I pray and I hope that you leave here today with your eyes opened. I hope that you leave here today knowing that, yes, you can persevere, that you can get through the hardships that are going on in your life. And if we can help you in any way this morning, I hope that you'll come. Let us pray with you and help you all that we can as together we stand and as we sing.